last night. We're going to be encouraged. We're thankful for communion night. So that's all. It's special to come to the Lord's table. We're going to be in the book of Galatians. The three brothers have prepared messages in a section that's really going to prepare us for communion as we think about our Redeemer. We're going to be singing together. We're going to have our business in here after our first song. And some really neat things we'll be presenting to you. And that's going to be encouragement. Let's pray and we'll continue. Father in heaven, we have great joy in our hearts, all because of you. Your word teaches us that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He has produced that in our hearts. It's not dependent on what's happening around us. In the world, we have tribulation. We have all kinds of things that create burden for us. But you have given us joy, this certainty of relationship with you, and confidence that you're up to something good in our life. You've given us that promise, preparing us for an eternity with you. So, it's a joy to be with our brothers and sisters tonight and have this church family service, as we call it, on Sunday evenings. Thank you for each person here. We lay our burdens before you and look forward to what you're going to accomplish in our midst tonight. We want to receive all glory and honor for those who know. Let's begin with a song.
You always commend me to how good you are. The one thing we have in Jesus, I think most of us know that, all our sins and griefs are there. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what things we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, for it is free.
Special things that are happening right now in the life of the church. We mentioned about the Counseling Discipleship Training course begins tomorrow evening. This is year 22, I think it is, for that course. And folks from all over the Tri-State are going to be joining us. If you want to be a part of that, it's not too late. Either the kind of person from 6 to 9 or virtually, you can join us using Zoom. And, in fact, I want to have a special prayer for that. Dave, you're going to be coming up here in a minute to preach, too. But would you come up here right now and use this microphone and help the church to know what's going to be happening here? And then we just need a prayer for that special ministry that's such a key part of our church.
Well, you all are invited, first of all. If you want to drop in here to the church building and listen to any of the sessions, you're welcome to come. If you want to join an audit class, then you get to pay us some money. And if you can't pay us some money, then you talk to us and we'll find out a way for you to do it anyway. And that's online or if you're present here, either way. And that money just goes into fund what we're doing. this year we've got somebody from Florida coming. And we've got people doing this virtually, it's all here, so that's a little different. Aaron and Dennis and others have been working really hard. Norma works behind the scene all the time to bring all this together. And so we're thrilled to be able to continue this ministry that has literally touched hundreds of lives. And not just the people that are being counseled, but people that want to counsel. So, I would find it odd that you'd be a member of Williamsburg Baptist Church and not want to participate in this, but you know, we all feel that way about the ministries we have done. So, if I was in a kids' club right now, I would say, I find it odd, all these kids that were touching, these lives that were touching, why you wouldn't want to participate? If I was holding those babies, well, I don't know. And as Jeannie would say, if you've ever worked with little ones, I don't know why anyone would want to do that. So we all have a passion for how we serve, but I just wanted to ask you to come up here unannounced, so you hear how bad I am when I'm not prepared. You're welcome to come. And we encourage you to come to be here with you. Father, as our Savior, not just as our King, but Lord, we have you as a Master, and that goal you give our sins to be for your glory, and you allow us to participate in the redemption of souls, development of other believers, and all that we enjoy the fellowship of other people, and we see you at work. So we just want to really pray about this opportunity, just saying thank you for the opportunity to serve yet again. We commit it into your hands. When your honor and your glory alone, and how you are using this to strengthen your body and strengthen people in the gospel and point people to your son. So we take this year, it's a little different. There are a lot of moving parts. We just commit it into your hands. The strength and the grace to do it well. Next Sunday evening, Paul Holwitz will be with us virtually on Zoom to present their work, which you know, Paul and Kathy, we love hearing about the training they've got for each one of the world's best. Next Sunday, 6 o'clock, 2 weeks from today, community groups kick off again for the next round of community groups. So, there. 2 weeks from today, also in the morning service, will be a baptismal service, and we'll be welcoming into the church family about 13 people. There's in process right now meeting with the deacons sharing their testimony, but about 13 joining the church, and 4, I believe, are going to be baptized. So that's coming up 2 weeks from this morning. We'll be in the morning service for that. Stay at the church address. We're willing to be next Sunday morning. Appreciate your prayers. It's reflecting over God's promise in 2020 that we're anticipating in 2021. That brings us to our business meeting. One of the things that we begin with the financial report is, God, I was just sharing with the board, I believe this is the most money ever given to you as the Baptist Church in the year after 2020. That's just only God could have orchestrated that in the year with such uncertainty. Just tremendous giving, generosity to God's people. We appreciate that. We'll be in our business session tonight for a monthly meeting. We'll see you get through the December report there. And you can scroll down the rock, say hard topics if you want to pick up one, you can look at that as well. But that's the designated funds, and then you'll see the income. I think we're right around 4,000 a week, the average for December weeks, right on budget, so that's provided again for us. Anything, Joe, or Spurgeon, you want to say? So you need to come up and use this mic. Come on up here. Open for people to say, you see something under your special on the bottom of your designated, and usually, and Regis is like, this is just a position. She finds all these errors. The harvest offering. $56,000. The
tithe was supposed to be a dollar chicken, so that wasn't a 56-pound hog. So wonderful. It was wonderful. But the total give of a harvest this year was $7,200. So I want to stress that. Stress that out.
Have a motion and second to accept the financial report that's been presented this evening. Jay Homer with the motion and the second. Jay Judy with the second. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Giving statements on the table in the back, so thank you for preparing those. If you can pick that up tonight, that'll help so that we don't need to mail out. If you can take these, that'd be good. All right, we have motion and second. All in favor of approving the financial report, please say aye. Opposed, same sign. And motion carries. We have some things to present. The combined board recommends. Facility items, two purchases. There's some new things happening for the youth in the church right now. The youth room downstairs is being remodeled. So we bring this recommendation two parts. First of all, to purchase carpet for the youth room downstairs, which will be taken out of the capital improvement fund. The carpet will be purchased from Paul Custom Interior. All custom interior, and that will be enough to exceed $4,500 for that. The second part of the motion is three couches out of the youth endowment from youth assistance fund. Three couches, not to exceed $2,000 total for that. So $4,500 for the carpet, $2,000 not to exceed your couches. And we respond to the motion and second that. Second. Scott with the second. Any discussion? Right. All in favor of this, please say aye. Opposed, same sign. And motion carries. That's going to be the group downstairs. Appreciate the work that's going on already with Lincoln and so forth down there. We're excited about the work that's going on with the technology, demonstrating that team, working with them. We're going to benefit already today from the sound system. We've got a new sound system. Dennis, come on up here and give us an update on what has happened with the sound. And then we're recommending a purchase of live stream equipment. If you could explain that, it's going to be enough to exceed $5,000 in the sound system
we approved in December, sometime in December. That all has been installed. There'll be a few modifications made here this coming week. We'll be ready for the next service next week. The sound is already incredible. It'll even be more incredible when we get these speakers up. It'll be sometime during the month. We think the speakers will go in to the company. And they'll come in with their crews and they will put their equipment ready up in one day. So we're looking forward to the end of January, hopefully to February. So that's where we are with that. One of our new microphones we're having right here to make our process a lot easier. Start speaking to each other and acting training. Last night we worked through Zoom with Dave and Roman. We did a trial run for what was going to start tomorrow night. And it was absolutely phenomenal. The sound was and the pictures and stuff like that. So we're excited about that. More excited when the speakers come up here. The next phase is not the audio portion, but now it will be the live stream. Pastors, we or the board and pastors encouraging us to try to do things that are deserved. And our last thing that worked, we've had that practice for 4 years now, and we're 40 years today right now. We are about technology and cell phones, but I had to see the 4 years, things that could change your laptops and things like that. It was time to upgrade. The group just wanted to be installing our speakers, gave us an estimate on upgrading the live stream. We will not have to go to the computer anymore and log in labor intensive right now. There's still a box that we will have back there with a lot of the monitors that have great two cameras. I'm looking at three that have the right to come to the I want three cameras to get a brand to the sanctuary. And that plus, as Matt said, we created all those sound solutions. It's not the same $5,000 I get that is like $3,500. And change the process like that. But I just think it would be cool to know what's coming in for us to be able to attack the grad experience with all the things. Our counseling issue with that the grad and waiting in water is, you know, great. So we definitely like to say that we're not just waiting to look for other people and literally all of the work to reach people from this church right here. If we've got the right equipment, you know, the good equipment that we have, and I think that the biggest application for that is that there's definitely a lifetime experience here at this department. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate all the work and for that explanation. So we'll entertain a motion now for this live stream purchase not to exceed $5,000 non-budgeted general fund expense. Sam, now Michelle with the motion. We'll second to that. I'll get in the middle here besides the motion. Mary Mullen with the second. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Now, all in favor of this, please say aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. And I'd ask him to step out of the room, and I believe he has. We want to, recommend that we authorize $1,000 to pay during the end of the non-budgeted development expense. $1,000 for the time being. He's got a lot of time. Just graciously help us do what we've been talking about. So, if you're inclined to make a motion and a second to do that, Dennis, with the motion, and you need a second, and with the second. Any discussion? Joy to be able to be generous and bless people, and especially those who love to serve. So it's a great privilege to do this. So all in favor of this motion, please say aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. And Dennis, if you'll let him know that you've done that, and you can come back in the room if you could. This adjourns our business session, and we'll move now into the time of the Word. You take your Bibles and go to the book of Galatians. We have three of our brothers that are going to be preaching from Galatians chapter 4 tonight. And in between the first and second message, the same song, and the second verse, and another song, and the communion. I'll just let the brothers read the passage. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 11, is where we'll be tonight. Dave Tuttle will be coming first, read the first section, then Dave Dean, and then Douglas will be the third section. And we are really looking forward to this. Yeah, I've been with us on a Sunday evening for preachers and training, just the word about this. I was impacted back in 2015, I think, when I saw the first title of Romaine on Sunday evening, watching how they incorporated younger men. Particularly younger men in their evening service, giving them small chunks of passage for a small period of time for preaching. I asked the pastor about that. Could we get our guys involved preaching, right? If you say, yeah, I'll be preaching in that kind of Romanian style. We don't like that. We really believe there needs to be a giftedness and an interest, and not everyone should preach. But for those who are interested, we give opportunity for them to be part of preachers and training. We have about a dozen guys that are involved in that, and we're walking out through the book of Galatians and look forward to what God has for us tonight. So, Dave, come and show us off.
Let's go. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of being here.
before the first year. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which we afterwards knew we did. Therefore, the law was our tutoring to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized in Jesus Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different at all from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. My question for tonight is privilege and responsibility found in spiritual life. My references is the birth of the Bible and John MacArthur's book, Galatians, the Wondrous Grace of God, and the Internet. It's a privilege to follow the message we heard last night. Two brothers did an outstanding job, and I still feel honored, and I'm thankful for that. Paul uses the analogy of a child's coming to age to contrast the believer's life before salvation, and his children and servants, and life after salvation, sons and adults. Those of the Jews and the Gentiles understood this illustration clearly since they had a ceremony, the mark of child coming of age. Under Roman law, the time of the heir taking legal possession of his estate was determined by the father. On that day, he was taken down to the forum, and he took his toys and left them there as an offering to the gods. In this way, he was ready to put away what Paul called in 1 Corinthians childish things. It was then that the child was formally adopted by the father as his acknowledged son and heir. Let's read verse 1 again. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all. The Greek word refers to a child as a minor, spiritually and intellectually immature, and not ready for the privileges and responsibilities of adulthood. Verse 2, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Verse 2 tells us that the guardians and stewards were slaves who cared for the underage child and managed his property for him until he came of age. Along with the tutor, they had just about complete charge of the child. A child under this care would not differ from a slave, much like us before salvation. Verse 3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were children of bondage before we came to a saving faith in Christ. The word elements is from the Greek word used to speak of basic, fundamental things. In view of its use in verse 9, it speaks of the basic elements and rituals of human religion that Paul describes. Because they were centered on man-made systems of works, they were filled with laws and ceremonies to be performed to achieve divine acceptance. According to Paul, all such practices are immature like children under bondage to a guardian. Are we, as modern day Christians, still carrying our cords in our previous lives? Do we sometimes stretch our ways and our works? Paul stresses in these verses in Galatians that it is found to mature and sets sanctuary. There is a quote from John MacArthur's book, "While salvation is the free gift of God, it brings with it serious responsibility. God requires believers to live holy lives because they are children of the Holy God. If you want to love and work with Him, this obligation to the unchanging moral and spiritual principles that forever reflect the nature of God, however, does not include the rituals and ceremonies you need to live with and the Mosaic law as a duty to do the act of false atonement." Yes, privilege and responsibility does come with spiritual life because of who God is, what Christ did on the cross, and because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish tonight with a powerful story from the book Orphan Train, written in 1929 by Christina Baker Fine. As far as Chris's internet search could find, this particular story is fiction. However, the Orphan Train is real. However, it does leave a good example of God's sovereignty and grace to believe. One of the greatest emotional needs in life is a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging gives us some understanding of our identity. The first place we develop a sense of belonging is in family relationships, which is why one of the most uncomfortable feelings a person can have is to feel insecure about their place in family. A wife wants to feel secure about a husband's affection and devotion. A child wants to feel secure about a parent's protection and acceptance. People who feel secure in these relationships tend to be emotionally healthy. People who are insecure in these relationships tend to be very emotionally unhealthy. Some of you probably grew up in insecure family environments. There were times when you were not performing well. You might have felt abandoned and unloved. Your sense of belonging faded. In 1850s, many children, approximately 30,000, were abandoned on the streets of New York because their immigrant parents died in a ship on the way to America. They didn't speak English, they had no money, and anyone who ever cared about them was now emotionally away. They slept in alleys, huddled for warmth in boxes or metal drums, to survive mostly cold, like rats, or runners from their tents. Charles Loring Brace, a 26-year-old minister, was horrified by the reply. So he organized a unique situation, the Orphan Train. The idea was simple: take hundreds of orphans on a train heading west and announce to the towns along the way that anyone could claim a new son or daughter in the Orphan Train set to the town. Imagine the anxiety of each child in that crowded train wondering if anyone would choose. Then wondering what sort of person would choose them. Would the person to adopt them be warm and friendly or cool and aloof? Would they be truly treated like family or would the actual intention be to make them into a slave service? Here's the fiction part. One adopted child from the Orphan Train noted the experience. You learn to survive and fight off starvation. One day, someone puts you on the train. Someone takes you and puts you on a smoked up
2020, and the findings of other points taken down. 3 days later, you are selected by a middle-aged couple in Michigan who introduced themselves as Mr. and Mrs. Steve Ford. You are driven to the largest house you've ever seen, and it's quietly explained that you are now part of their family. Everything they have is yours to use and enjoy. At long last, by some miracle, you have a family and a home. What a home. You compare the conditions and fighting of these lost children in New York, and then think where we were before faith in Christ. Think of the Holy Spirit guiding Pastor Grace as he planned your work in coming. Think of how the Holy Spirit directed you to faith in Christ. Think of the children being given the faith to accept total strangers and board with strangers. Remember how the Holy Spirit guided us in faith to board the train of salvation. And now we have the privilege to be carriers of Christ. Praise his holy name now and forever. Do you think that any of these 30,000 children would desire to have gone back to New York for the last month? I think not. So why do we as Christians sometimes try to add to God's perfect plan? Remember, our faith is greater than any thing any force could have ever offered. Remember that God is greater than God.
So back to this question, what do we say for the question? What can wash away my sin? And what can make me whole again? So fill in the blank, the old precious is that God makes me no other, nothing but the remember. It's in the second verse too as well. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious gift of God, that makes me white as snow. For my cleansing is my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Chapter 4, I'd like to back up a little bit like Dave did back to chapter 3, verse 29. So let's read that together. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offering, heirs according to the promise. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. I mean that an heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he's owned of everything, and is under guardians and managers until the day set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but when the fullness, this is my section right here, but when the fullness of time had come,
God's report that he's not born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. In reading this and thinking about it, this is the phrase, this is God's perfect plan of redemption. Rescuing slaves and adopting them as his sons for his glory. That's what we're going to understand tonight. Here's a big idea. The Father sent his Son to rescue sinners. Christ came at the perfect time and fulfilled every righteous requirement of the law by living perfectly, perfectly sinless. Then he took that life and offered it on the cross to purchase freedom for his people from their sin. And here's the implication. Therefore, it is foolish and it is futile for anyone to seek God's acceptance based on any of them or anything other than trusting solely in what Christ has intended to do, what he's done. And this is the whole point of the book of Galatians. These Galatians were listening to these deceivers and these false teachers that were saying Christ's work is not sufficient. How often as a believer have I felt Christ's work is not sufficient? God forbid that I would have the thought, but I act like it, I think like it. So, here's the three points. We need to learn how to trust Christ alone. So the first point, for us to trust Christ alone, we must first see our desperate need for a redeemer. Brothers and sisters, what people need is they need education. They need their mind renewed. They need to be enlightened. Now, the Spirit has to open their mind. We have to bring them alive to understand these things spiritually. But it's a cognitive process. It's a mental process. We preach reason. We line upon line and precept upon precept. Reason for our faith. So here's the fact. How do we enter this world? We come into this world as sinners. We're in bondage. We obey sin. Sin is our master. We are its servant. Secondly, because we obey sin, and sin is our master, we transgress God's law. And therefore, our position before God is as condemned. Because God is holy and righteous. Under the law, we face death, and we face eternal punishment. Why do we need a Redeemer? Because we're sinners. And as sinners, we sin. And therefore, are counted as enemies of God and rebels of God. We are slaves to sin. And third, we are spiritually bankrupt. We have no way to break this curse. We have no way to break this debt that we owe because we lack the ransom payment needed, which is a righteous life. We lack the righteous life that needs to be paid to set the sinner free, to purchase freedom. So the first point here is for us to trust in Christ alone, we need to see our desperate condition. And we need to admit our desperate condition. Second, for us to trust Christ alone, we must also see the Father's perfect plan of redemption. That plan has three pieces here. He sent Christ at the perfect time, according to our passage, and the fullness of time had come. When it had come, God sent forth his Son. He sent him at the perfect time. Rome was ready. The world was set. The roads in the area were paved. There was a political system that was ready for the transmission of the gospel. The Jewish nation, though rejecting Christ, was corrupt and it was ready for renewal. It was ready for a change. God is never late, but He's also never early. And at the perfect time, as people yearn and pray for the Messiah to come to the few, the fullness of time had come. And God, in His perfect plan, at His perfect time, sent His perfect Son. Second, He came in the perfect way. He was born of a woman. Who could think of such a plan? To send the perfect, holy, divine Son of God into this world as a human being. He had to come in a virgin. He had to come without the contamination in the seed of Adam. He came as the second Adam, born of a woman, born under the law. He came as a human being with the obligation to perfectly obey and fulfill the law of God as a human being. And He did it. And He did it. None of us have done it. And He did it. And He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for us. Third, He sent Christ for the perfect reason. That reason was to pay the ransom price for slaves and adopting the Son. Our brother David talked about so well. So, we've seen two points. Without Christ alone, we have to see our desperate need for a Redeemer. Second, we have to see God's perfect plan of redemption. And third, when we do trust Christ alone for our redemption, we are adopted as sons of God and receive a glorious inheritance. You know, my challenge as a believer in this culture is I move way too fast. Too much to do, too little time to do it. And God has done such amazing things for us as His children. That we come and we come apart once a week to gather together, and we come apart once a month to gather before the table, like we do tonight, to remember this. We, the redeemed, are set free from the penalty and the punishment of the law. We no longer have the cowering fear of God as our righteous judge, because our sin and punishment has been rolled out to Christ on the cross. We no longer have fear of death and judgment. We now have perfect love that casts out fear, according to John. Second, we, the redeemed, are adopted as sons. We're no longer slaves. Therefore, we have full, intimate access to the Father through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us. God comes to us as the Holy Spirit, and He assures us of our relationship. And He assures us of our acceptance. And He assures us that the sacrifice has been paid. And we have an advocate in heaven that speaks to the Father on our behalf and offers His own life and His own blood as payment. As payment that redeemed us as slaves, now we are declared as sons. Third, we as the redeemed anticipate a future inheritance. Well, we have it now, but we're just tasting of it right now. We just have the down payment. Brothers and sisters, we don't think enough about our future because we are caught up in the difficulties of the present. We are going to reign with Christ for eternity. We are going to reign over this new earth, this new heaven, the new earth. As He declared us before His creation as His sons, He's going to bring this whole universe back into the freedom and restore what was lost by Adam. He's going to use us as a centerpiece to do that. Not for our glory, for His own. We were useless slaves. And out of His mercy and kindness, He chose to open our eyes and bring us alive and save us at the cost of His Son's death on the cross. So, what's the application tonight? What are the applications, and I say the implications? As believers, and those who have been redeemed, and I trust that that's most of us, if not all of us in this room, we must never forget the great price that Christ has paid to set us free. In fact, that needs to be our focus this year. We are also obligated to live as free sons, to come often and boldly to our Father in thanksgiving and worship and petition and repentance. We no longer have to fear God in the sense that we have to cower away from Him. He draws us as children where we cry, Abba, from our hearts, Daddy, we love You. He cuddles us up to His heart and He loves us. And God forbid that that would happen in our own righteousness. That could never happen in our own self-righteousness, filthy riots. He's cleansed us. He's purified us. He has covered us with the righteousness of the Son. And also, I'm not going to be so naive to think that maybe someone here hearing this message, or maybe online, that may be trusting in themselves to be right with God. It is the vain pursuit. It will not work. It's foolish. Leave it. Leave your self-righteousness. Leave your own religious activities. Leave your effort to try to be accepted by God. And come to Christ, and He'll set you free from your sin. And you won't just be accepted as a slave in the house. You'll be accepted as a son. You'll be adopted. And the Holy Spirit will fill your life. It will create a way for you to have an intimate and close relationship with your Creator and your God and your Father. Brothers and sisters, my encouragement tonight is we come to the table is to slow down and to think about this wonderful redemption. Thank you.
That kid, that you said, being my favorite class of art. Class was my first favorite. I love to draw. I didn't like it the day he did art and he did some abstract and then they just draw things that look real. And I did a lot with different things. And one of the things I discovered was that the crayons back in the day when you had old crayons and the art paper they gave us still had chunks of wood still in it. I think from how primitive it was, but I would draw this still. And three crosses, and put a nice bright yellow to begin the crosses and colors and make it bright. But then I discovered that you could cover the whole thing with a black paint and then take some kind of sharp tool and then go back and scrape off the black and it would reveal the picture underneath. And I saw pictures of some of those things where the black went away and you made it a cross and the brightness of the cross there. And I think that picture came from this thing, the old leather cross, and on a hill far away, right, to the middle of the cross. So could you stand here with us and just stand here? I think we'll try two of the verses and do your best from memory to do that. And Douglas will come and then we'll the old rugged cross.
Open there. But I have a question before we start. Well, one, my father-in-law this afternoon, as he finished, and he said, don't be too long. So I hope I go fast. But really, you know, in points for you guys, so you guys can get me to work more. So, in this group, that would be a problem. But have you ever made a bad prayer in your life, doing something, you just had it, and then you realize, that was not a good deal. Maybe you say a painful part that you had, and then years later, that was like very practice or a football part, I don't know. Maybe you, you know, you create a book, you create houses or cars, and then you realize, that was not the best decision. A few years ago, this time we were looking for a car, our 2000 Bug. That was not very reliable to us, and it was breaking, and we couldn't get over the hill anymore, and engine lights were not accessible anymore. So we tried to pray, and in the car, and the car has been very good, very reliable to go to. Very long journey. But it's a very good car. Now imagine I get my car and take it back to the other trip and say, I want my Bug back. Can you ever imagine that? Now, not just doing that, but on top of that, I'm going to give all the money that I paid for the Impala back to you, just to win my Bug back. That sounds a bad prayer right there. But let's look to the verse tonight. And there is a particular scripture that we all are surrounded. It's the strength of creating grace for the law. And you're going to see that tonight, that this dear brother for Paul were training their grace, their living in Christ, their faith in Christ for their law and their practice. First page. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days, months, and seasons, and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my effort. So think now I had that far, 2017, but I like and I want back my $2,000. Not in a good shape. And then you have your father there with you and saying, I will let you do this, but it's not a good deal. Okay? So, Paul is fathering their faith. He's telling them, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Why are you doing this? He's loving, but he's not allowed them to, or not wanting them to say that. So, main idea here as we start, the danger of praying, the grace for the law, is that it will make us regret in three ways: our identity in Christ, our relationship with Christ, and our devotion to Christ. As we read verse 8, it says that formerly you did not know God. So it's saying in the past you did not know God, or in the latest you guys did not know God. And so that you were slaves, you were under this wrath of God, you were under the curse and the bondage of sin, and you were worshiping different gods. See, the danger here is identify ourselves, you know, or keep this mind that our identity in the past. But when you take Christ, that sounds like a bad trade. It is a bad trade. When you have a relationship with God, with Christ, and have salvation in the beginning of sin, you don't want to go back. Sat there, you were slaves. So, the verses earlier, as David read, you are no longer a slave, but you have a son. And since you are a son, God has made us, and made you also here. God adopt you as a son, save you to live for his glory. And there's a danger here to regret. As you pray grace for law, you will regret on this thinking of going back to slavery. Not just the thinking, you are going to act like, as verse 8 says, that before we worship, you know, false gods, or by nature, we're gods, we're not gods. There's this danger by our identity. Looking back to that, that is, I don't know about you, but before Christ, they were not good. When you realize that Christ died and came, saved me, and as I read today with you through Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, when you realize that he chose you for adoption, it's a nonsense to now go back, I want to be a slave of him. So Paul is pleading with them, please don't do that. I know there's people around the church, there's people persecuting you, try to push you back to that, but please don't do that. Your identity, as he just said, you are free and you're a son, and you are now there in Christ Jesus. Alright. The second danger of this praying grace for law is regression in your relationship with God. As we are saved, we are, you know, in this progressive growth with Christ, to Christ, and to be more like him. so there's this regression of all the sickness on them, as we're going to read in a minute. They were missing time with Christ, with God, for something else, as we read in verse 9. But now that you know God, or rather are known by Him, that seems like God knows you first, and now you share that relationship with Him through Christ Jesus by faith. How is that you are now turning back to those weak, miserable principles? And some versions would have basic principles, Paul used just words in Colossians, as he tells you, you know, be captive by this philosophy or this basic principles of this world. That means like, don't go back to the ABCs, but keep growing as you already are growing. You know, my daughter now is identifying letters and numbers. And it, for me, it's so easy to go, this is an A, this is a B, and now I can form words. Yeah. Why should I go back when now I have something bigger and more than those basic principles? So that is a way to regress that. See, I'm using regression and moving. It's different. You can now lose Christ if you're saved by grace. He fills you. Now you can regress in your growth with Him. And thirdly, as saying here, the trading grace for the law, we will regress in our devotion to Christ. See there that they were observing days, months, seasons, years, that they're saying that as they said, they're trying to add to their salvation and observing something as like the law or their ceremonial days. You know, you think about ceremonial days, you have Sabbath, you know, there's ceremonial months that they'll have most of their ceremonials that will be in the first and the second month of them. The Passover, Tabernacle days, Pentecost, all of those, the seventh year. All of those were not bad if, you know, you use to glorify and honor God and you grow. But if you are adding that for your merit and your justification to be justified before God, that's what's happening here. So as you conclude here, Paul, as their father in the faith, were concerned about their growth. Chapter 3, verse 3 says, now that you start by the Spirit, you know, why do you want to go back to this, you know, to the flat thing? You can relate it. And when you plead again, does God give you with His Spirit to work miracles among you by the work of the law? He's saying, why are you trying to deny the perfect plan of God? Or trying to regress the thinking if you now have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you something. So you will have this grace tomorrow. The grace that you might have really faced. This grace that I say in my chapter. You might have faced more of a self desire. For holiness. You might tomorrow will face this situation that you will have to trade your past thinking for a new mind in Christ. And right now, trade the world for Christ. There's a song that says, please keep me Jesus in the morning, then I rise, keep me Jesus, then I can't sing that song. And the end of the song is that, yeah, keep the world just being Jesus. That's Paul's mind here for these times of faith. You should
comfort, we see Jesus, we embrace Jesus, we care for Jesus, and bear fruits of Jesus. So for us here, I invite you to do the same. Pray your law, pray your, you know, self-desires and self-thinking, justifying acts for holiness, for His grace, for more Christ, and not so we never make you regret. I'm so grateful to you.
Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." So let us remember it now, our brothers, to take us into this passage, which reminds us that we have a Redeemer and an adoption. We might pray for that. So I want to give you some time to pray just silently. If you need to pick up your elements out on the table, and if you didn't get those coming in, then we need a little cup. Wafer on top reminder, if you haven't done so this before, be careful that you go ahead in this type of preparation, you have some time to pray and get ready to pull out your wafer and mark your footsteps. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of His glory. Lord Jesus, that night Jesus betrayed, took the bread and He said to take it in remembrance of Him. This was His body that was given for us. And if you're a believer in Christ tonight, this is for you to remember Him. If you're not in Christ, you've never repented and trusted in Christ, this is what you need. You need to repent and put your full trust in the Lord Jesus. I invite you to do that even now. But as we prepare to take this, though, I'd like to invite or Deacon Ted, if you would stand where you are, lead us in prayer, and then we'll receive. This is remembered. This is the cup. And reminded us that the cup represents the shedding of His blood for our forgiveness. Have our sins forgiven and cleansed. Jack Brannon, would you lead us in prayer to prepare to receive the cup?
would tell stories, and all of us would tell stories about different experiences we've had around the Lord's table. I think about being in the jungle and Papua New Guinea and taking communion and Eastern Europe and churches growing up. And one of the things we need to remind us, it's not a ritual. It's remembering the person that we did. We had that joy to do it together with plastic and other things, but we remember Jesus Christ who died for us and God in the community. Any announcements you'd like to make to the church family? We're not going to split up into our weekly prayer groups, but we will finish with a prayer. But any special things you'd like to let the church know, needs, okay. You want to help with the counseling snacks? See Pam about that. Continuing to pray for Matt and Bethany as they recover home from their sickness. Okay, Judy's niece, Peggy, with pancreatic cancer. Mary's co-worker's father in a difficult situation with a stroke. He did. He received Christ today in the hospital. He's done. Praying for Drew with his health growing and what that means for his body. Thanks for mentioning that. Okay, Greg Brown, Sam's father, having this in today. His health has really been declining. Did you have a hand up, Bob? Oh, you were scratching your nose. Information with these health issues he's dealing with. Father, how good belong to you. We heard about adoption from Galatians tonight. We do cry out to Father who lay before you people in situations wrong parts of church family. Thank you for caring, thank you for working. Invite us to say that we need to look forward to seeing how you're going to work in all of these situations. Bless us as we leave this place and help us to make much of Jesus as we go to our homes and work and school and all the different things that we're heading into this week. Those meeting with the people who never canvas, that meeting will take place downstairs again. Is that right? Down the steps across from the gym. So that'll happen. If the preacher's cleaning the meeting will not happen after because of that, we need to be involved in that. So we will not be meeting preachers and training them.